Hello and welcome to Reddit on Reddit, the internet's auditory version of Reddit. I'm Nelson Allingham, joined by Jambo Jelly Jamble.
You've revealed my actual name.
Yes.
As I said you could on the 86th episode.
Yes.
And you've kept that promise.
That's correct.
Speaking of promises,
yep.
We make a promise every week
mm-hmm.
to the listeners.
Yep.
We'll be out Monday.
Have we ever once made a promise?
We're a day late, and let me tell you, Nelson, you better brought me something pretty darn good to make up for being a day late.
Nothing. I've brought you absolutely nothing at all.
Look, you're lucky I'm on this podcast.
Okay.
I've brought something.
Okay,
I'm claiming it now.
Okay, good.
We have a special guest on the podcast.
Oh, really?
But
what? Where could they possibly be?
Our distinction, our first returning guest.
What?
Normally we'll say, hey, do you want to come on again?
Oh my God, it's PM me your tits girl.
No, but again, for the second time, from Escape This Podcast, Bill, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you going? And it's time to reveal my secret Reddit identity.
Okay.
Is PM me your tits girl.
Oh,
here I am.
It's all coming back together. Okay. Well, that's...
And if you guys could just PM me your tits after the show, that'd be fine.
Yeah, done. Absolutely. Will do. Did your wife know about...
How do you think we met?
You're like, ooh, very good PM. Okay.
Like, this one stands out above all others. Yeah, so,
exactly. I would
marry
know.
Me? Okay. Sorry, Danny, if you are listening.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming onto the show.
And yeah, I flew all the way down this time. I'm actually here. I'm not fake here like I was last time.
I don't think anyone noticed, to be honest with you. I think it was... No, it was very obvious. It was on Skype. I think there was like some connection delays and we talked over each other sometimes.
Mm.
We might still do that this week. I don't
Shut
know.
Up, Cameron.
No. you would have experienced this on Skype, but a lot of the times we just make us laugh. And
yeah.
We don't worry if anyone else is laughing, and then we move on.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because I was saying to Gambo, it's a bit trickier when you're, you know, over Skype, because you pick up on, you know, if Gambo's eyes start to wander, I'm like, okay, I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, I don't know, Bill could have been bored through that whole thing, but I had no idea.
You never know.
But now
you'll be able to see my bored eyes.
Yes, we can see your boredom in real life and know whether we're bombing or not.
Yeah.
We have the same problem on our show.
Mm-hmm.
For people who haven't listened, it's... I'm just going to plug this right now.
Escape
This Podcast. We do escape rooms. But the difference recording in person, where you can just watch Danny as she gives out, like... descriptions,
right?
And you can watch her eyes every now and then. She's like, and the table, and
right.
Just with her eyes, you think, "Ooh, I can see those eyes bounce."
The eyebrows are just a little higher on certain words.
You start to solve something incorrectly. Like maybe if we look under the, and then you see her face go, "Oh, well, oh, you know,
right.
Maybe not." And so you know. So when people are on Skype, sometimes I have to relay that to them. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the best idea.
yeah, that's right. I reckon I can tell that more because you do that sort of exposition a little bit more when, you know, somebody says something and you're like, maybe not.
Maybe
I was like,
not.
I'm pretty sure he's just got a cue there that that was not the right way to go. Because I actually took a one of those courses that help you detect people's emotions. Like from a professional poker player, just before I did your escape room, you know, just to give me an extra leg up.
No wonder you were doing so brilliantly.
I did it in record time, I think.
No one had beaten that time.
Yep. I've never played that episode again, I guess, but...
And of course, fans that are saying, I like the cut of Bill's jib. He sounds good so far. You can always listen to Nelson's episode of the podcast.
Yeah, it's a very good... It was a very fun episode.
And you know what? It's linked in the description.
Now
Nelson has to do that.
Yeah, but I could just not do it.
It's right above... I mean, yeah, that is true. It's linked in the description. They're not going to check.
Exactly.
Who checks the description?
Exactly. In fact, I'm not going to put it in there just to wait for somebody to write in saying, hey, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got Twitter open right now. I can just...
Yeah. Okay, well, look, that's it. Should we get into Reddit on Reddit? Did either of you do anything really interesting this week?
here's an interesting fact for you. So I'm a very fancy man. I don't know if you know this about me.
Yeah, it's obvious.
I managed to, and this is the right word, scam my way into the Avengers premiere.
Wonderful.
On Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out there was this guy there, and I'm like, oh, that guy looks a lot like Alan Tudyk. Do you know Alan Tudyk from Firefly? Yes. And
Wash, for those who don't
Wash,
know.
Wash, the pilot in Firefly and Serenity. And then I was with a friend of mine, Mark, from the Good Old and Gallagher podcast.
We've also had them on the show. Yes. Or was that you as well, Bill?
Well, time to reveal my secret podcast identity.
That was weird because we did that one in person.
And he's
and there then, were two people.
And then so he went to the bathroom and he's like, that Alan Tudyk looking guy was taking so long in the stall. And I kind of wanted to say something, but I didn't want to be rude or whatever. And then anyway, it comes out today that that was actually Alan Tudyk at the premiere for some reason in Melbourne.
Mm.
So it was like that weird kind of... You weren't starstruck at the time,
yeah.
But then afterwards, you're like, oh my God, that was Alan Tudyk.
Cambo thinks he's famous now by proximity.
No, no, sorry. I said I think Alan Tudyk is famous.
Yeah.
Because of all the work he did.
Oh, okay. I guess
just
so.
Just happens to be. That's the. Weren't you listening? That's the kind of the point of the story. There were a lot of other people there as well. It wasn't just these two guys.
No. It was me and Mark and Alan Tudyk.
Okay.
In the session. That's all.
That's it. The whole thing.
Pretty good. It's weird that it took you so long to notice that.
I know. Because he was like, hello, I'm Alan. Okay. All right. Geez, a bit American, aren't you? Jeez.
God.
And he was signing autographs most of the time.
Yeah. There was an Alan Tudyk picture signing stall outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you basically did nothing this week.
Bill,
what did you get up to that was interesting?
Well, I'm here down in Melbourne, and I'm actually here for work, which is not that interesting.
Okay.
So the only interesting thing I really did, I'm pretty sure, was fly here, which is not that interesting anyway.
Okay.
But I did have one of those
moments.
Well,
it depends how you flew here. I mean, that could be very interesting.
Yeah. That is true.
Or just...
It was not. No.
Pretty average.
On a boring old plane. It's one of those moments, so, you know, you get into a plane and you sit down and then there is a child right in front of you.
Mm.
And you go, ooh, which way is this going to go? Right? You think, oh, am I going to get into the air and just have an hour and a half of just screaming child?
Yeah.
But I got the other side of where the child was like, you know when you watch like a six-year-old boy who's been given a toy truck? Or when you go to a train station, there's a really young kid who's obviously never seen a train before.
Yeah.
It was that kind of excitement.
Fascinating.
Okay. Yeah. So we were taking off and the kid was just like, oh, we're taking off. And then not too loud. And then, you know, we're in the air and you hit turbulence.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those, you hit turbulence and your eyes snap to the child and you think, oh, where are we going to go now? And the kid goes, oh, it's bouncing. Oh, it's bouncing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is perfect.
So that kid has not feared death yet.
But that's the ideal child situation. Excitement at a reasonable volume.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, oh, it's bouncing. And I'm done.
Yeah.
Back to Peppa Pig on my phone. You
know? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It was very easy. Well, not me. That was the kid. I wasn't watching Peppa Pig on my phone.
Yeah.
That's not what I do with my time.
It's fine if you do.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That is true. I was watching.
We got you. It's not fine.
Oh, no. I fell into that trap.
But yeah, that was it. Other than that, it's been, I came to Melbourne and I went and stayed with my uncles and it was lovely. And we had a lovely walk through the Botanic Gardens and then I've been working.
Okay.
So think of this. I met a Hollywood celebrity and hung out with him. Bill flew through the air defying physics with a small child.
Mm.
What did you do this week that is more exciting than either of those?
I invented a new form of gravity.
Okay. Right.
How was that?
Gravity
that
wasn't invented anyway. It was discovered.
No. Isaac Newton invented it.
What, are you an idiot, Cameron?
He was sitting there looking at this apple and he goes, God, that's so high up. How can I get this apple down? I don't want to climb the tree.
Yeah.
I really want an apple.
Mixed a couple of chemicals together, threw it into the air, and everything just blew
up. Oh, God, Cameron, you know nothing. It wasn't chemicals, obviously. He drilled into the ground.
So he discovered it.
It's like he... No, and then...
He found a few things. He stuck them together.
And
he made a wish.
Right. You're right.
He wished for gravity.
You're right. I am the one that looks stupid.
Yeah. You are. Anyway,
no wonder you don't even know who Alan Tudyk is.
So, Gravity 2.0 is coming out pretty soon.
What's the difference between Gravity
and Gravity 2.0? It's a bit lighter.
And, okay. And they couldn't get Sandra Bullock back.
Yeah, that's right. But George Clooney's still there, so
weird because spoiler alert, he did die quite early on in that movie.
Or did he? Yes. Gravity 2.0, find out.
It's a little bit lighter.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to, like, I don't want to play favorites, but I had the most interesting thing happen to me this week. So let's get into Reddit on Reddit, right? The point of this show. It's not for me to gloat, even though I did do the most amazing thing. this first one is by... okay. Well, I have two.
Start with the second one.
Okay, okay. Don't brag. I've got two.
I mean, it's just rare, you know? Okay, I'm going to start with the second one because Bill told me to.
Yeah, it's the best one.
Okay, this is by Mad as a Hatter.
Okay.
Australia's oldest scientist will fly to Switzerland in early May to end his life, reigniting the national euthanasia debate. David Goodall, who is now 104, doesn't have terminal illness, but quality of life has deteriorated, and he has secured fast-track appointment with assisted dying agency in Basel.
God, is there no character limit to Reddit headlines?
No.
They just seem to go on. Now, I'm glad you've chosen like a real softball topic to start the show.
You chose it.
You know,
you said the second
That's
one.
That's true, Bill.
That's why I was umming and ahhing, because I was like, well, this one's pretty heavy. But Bill is so convinced that the
second
one is...
I'm assuming the first one is abortion-based, right? Like, this is...
Oh, my God, it is. no, but look, sometimes you got to talk about the real hard facts. On a comedy podcast.
Yeah, right? Euthanasia.
Euthanasia. What do you think?
Look. Okay, this is a toughie.
It's really interesting that, like, it's obviously well known, right? Like, okay, so we're in Australia, euthanasia is not legal, I'm assuming, in any context, right? I think Andrew Denton has gone around trying to make it legal for long enough, though. I don't think it's legal, right?
Right, yeah.
I think that's fairly obvious. Otherwise, he wouldn't fly
away. Denton
can't
do it. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, he's still alive, so presumably he wasn't successful.
And I always wonder...
He's trying to do it for him.
Oh, well, no.
Well, he might have. Yeah, I would assume to prove a point, once it goes through, you're like, all right, finally...
All right, Denton, we'll do it, but you're first,
mate. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's it, that's the last step. So, okay.
Enough rope.
I don't think we need to...
Noose.
Like, I don't think it'd be fun for anybody listening for us to talk about whether or not euthanasia is a brilliant idea at all.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting to think, here's a person who goes, here's something illegal in this country, and to be like, I intend to go do this. I am going to fly away to do something illegal. In any other context... Is that allowed? Like, can I just be like, okay, say like Saudi Arabia goes, hey, murder's legal today. Can you just be like, I'd like to murder someone, Australian government. I'm going to go murder in Saudi Arabia, and you can't stop me. Can they stop you?
You know, technically not, because they police their sovereign land.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And but like, is criminal intent?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's illegal.
Well,
like,
I mean, look, it's fine, shot. Intent. I don't need to arrest them. Like,
it's no SVU, but yeah, that's fine.
Well, in fact, okay, you use that as an example, but I think a real example that somebody could do right now is in Manila, the president is president? Yeah.
President.
He's basically made it legal to kill anybody using drugs.
Yes.
So he really brags
about doing it himself.
Because I could imagine that somebody is right now. Somewhere around the world, some like rich white guy's like, I'm going to kill someone. I'm going to pay
elephants,
a lot of money.
I've shot giraffes, but I've never shot the most dangerous game.
Yeah, that's right.
Filipinos.
Yeah. Because they'll fight back.
That's yeah, oh, exactly. I'm like lying to just take it. You know, like, but it's interesting, right? Because it's one of these things that everything in the world is so global now, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I don't need to be like, oh, I'm going to go to America to go and see this American thing. So, you know, you just, like, see it, and it gets thrown at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so interesting to these moments where local laws don't coincide.
Yeah.
The other one that's been popping up on Reddit, and I hope you haven't already got it, was about France.com.
Oh, that was my next one.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't know. I don't know what that's... we miss most of what's on Reddit.
So there's a guy in America who owns the website France.com.
Right.
And he's not squatting on it like some people do. He hasn't. He's been operating a business for the last 20 years using the website France.com. He is a ex-French. He's an ex-French man who lives in America, and he has a business. He does travel things and other stuff, and he runs it through France.com. And France, the country, has just said, we would like that. We're going to legislate in France that, you know, we're going to make the court say that we should have that. Right. And then the American company, though it was not forced to, and whether or not it needed to, is up for debate, said, okay, cool, here you go, France, and took the domain off him and gave it to France, which kind of ruined his entire business.
Yeah.
And it's one of these moments where you think, well, legally they didn't really have to. Can France just sort of be like, I'm going to pass a law that says, give me that?
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, what? Like, what if, like, how hard is it? France pass a law and says, I'm pretty sure Air Force One belongs to Macron,
right.
So yeah. Just fly that over
we
here.
We just decided.
You know, it's just really interesting.
France is acting as a two-year-old that hasn't learned to share yet.
Yes, right. But it's the same sort of thing,
mine.
Right?
No, it's
where
not.
You've got a guy who goes, I want to do an action, and I can just find a country in which that's legal.
Mm.
And go and do it.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think the most common example of this is Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously,
yeah,
smoking
exactly.
The old wacky tobacco marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's the trait name. It means marijuana cigarettes.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I was very confused. Good.
Wow, you're so hip.
Yeah, yeah.
Camber.
I'm hip. I'm to it. So that's like the common example, right, is people go over to Amsterdam, they smoke a lot of marijuana.
Yeah. And no one's sitting on the border being like, oh, where are you going? Yeah. You're in Amsterdam, what are you going to do there?
Yeah. Oh. What did you do there? You better not know anything bad. You know?
Yeah.
But they've got, you know, like red light districts and, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It's the world is kind of at odds with itself in all these ways, right? Where your things progress to a certain point, and like you can travel anywhere and you can interact with people anywhere, and then there's different levels of it. And you get, like, you know, can I tweet about the king of Thailand and say something really terrible about the king of Thailand, right? Which is illegal in Thailand.
Yeah.
You can't say, and I'm not going to do it. No, I'm going to get them. I'm not going to get the podcast in trouble.
Don't risk that.
I'll leave my private thoughts about the king of Thailand in my head.
We're quite big in Thailand, so we'd appreciate
if
you did it.
But it's interesting, right? Like, it's all these, how enforceable is this stuff? And it isn't, and it is. And, you know, I can't go to Thailand and then tweet about the king of Thailand being terrible. Maybe I can. What can I get away with as not a citizen of Thailand?
That's true.
It's really interesting.
And, you know,
and this is a better conversation than euthanasia.
You know what? I think euthanasia is great.
Let's bring it back to euthanasia.
But even though you said it as a joke, if we were big in Thailand, presumably it would have a bigger effect if we did say
that's
something
worth it. If your audience was 99% Thai,
exactly.
It's like, you'd at least be noticed.
Would they
doing
then
this bad thing?
Try to, you know, get extradite us somehow.
They quickly grant you citizenship.
I've seen Batman. I know how it works.
Or I think they'd try and trick us. We'd keep getting invitations to parties in Thailand. Like, oh, they wait a minute.
Come to our make fun of the king party.
Oh, this does appeal to us.
Yeah. Oh, we love making fun of that king.
We're at the airport and they're kind of darting eyes. So I'd say, wait a minute.
Okay. Well, interesting points, but death.
If he wants to do it.
Look, as someone who isn't going to die, it's kind of a hard question for me to answer, right? Because I'm immortal, right? I'm going to live forever.
Right.
All of you are just figments of my imagination.
Yes.
This whole world is nothing but a creation in my head. So it's a really interesting question, but it doesn't really apply to me.
Okay.
So you got
that
the wrong guy onto the show
that
for
it. It's interesting. Do you know what? It's just that I'm so afraid of being a total vegetable that I would want this. I would want euthanasia to be legalized. Just because, like, I feel like there are parts to living that could be far worse than
death.
Dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something like, there are so many situations in which you can see, oh yeah, look, that's a pretty bad situation to be in.
Yeah.
That there's like, it's obviously at least, you know, that it's, no one can be like, why would you just do it? Why would you start killing people? Like, there's so many ways you can see that it is a relevant discussion to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's something that, there should be a lot of, like, boundaries to it, but it should be an option that is in some way available.
And I think for most people, that's probably the thing they're against, right? I don't think, I think for a lot of people, it's you don't frame it as, oh, what, so you want people to be really, really in pain? It's like, no, they don't want it to be something that is, you know, everybody starts dying. They go, no, they said do it, right? So practically,
like,
concerns
are
probably
the big concern. You can't nod someone's head in a coma being like, oh, dad
Look
wants to
that.
Go, you know.
My rich millionaire uncle. right?
That's true. It is about the complication of the, you know, like each individual situation and not just about, you know, how old they are or ill they are or whatever.
I think there should be a two-question process. Question one, do you want to die?
Yes.
Question two, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I just wanted to make sure you were sure of that.
Okay. Well, see, Bill told me to say that, so flawed method.
No. I brought the hammers. I don't know how they do euthanasia.
That's probably about
it. I think it's hammers.
Do you know,
you have to try and eat them. If you're healthy enough to survive, you're fine.
The main reason why I want to, you know, want euthanasia to be legalized.
Yeah.
It's because my worst nightmare, my living hell, mm-hmm. if you would,
yeah.
is I imagine being at like an old folks home, unable to really communicate, get my thoughts across,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be stuck in front of the TV. They're probably like, oh, we'll just put this old guy in front of the TV.
Right.
And it's just like reruns of Kiefer Sutherland, you know,
24?
No, 25? not that's the wrong guy. He's the guy that does the suitcase thing, the game
yeah,
show.
Yeah, the suitcase guy.
You are you talking?
Well, like Andrew O'Keefe?
Yeah, you talking about Deal or No Deal?
Deal or No Deal.
Kiefer Sutherland's Deal
what's
or No
his,
Deal.
What's his name? Is it close to that at all?
Andrew O'Keefe.
Yeah, I was like Keith. I said Keith.
Andrew Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, okay, I can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's my worst
I think
nightmare.
Maybe that euthanasia should come a little bit earlier for you.
I'm ready to go right now.
Yeah. The early onset dementia is really early yeah. onset here.
I'm bad with names. I should never try to name people.
That's true.
But that Kiefer Sutherland guy, God, he annoys me.
You called me Jambo at the start of the show.
That is your name.
It was very good to introduce the show with a joke from a discussion that we had privately moments earlier.
Yeah.
I know it like really brings in listeners.
Really alienate that audience early.
All I'm saying, people just thought, oh, Nelson's doing a hilarious name for Cambo. Only until now did they realize it was an inside joke.
I got him. He just called me Cambo.
Ooh, that's it.
And force of habit. Shut up. Anyway, okay. Let's get into another segment called Today I Learned.
So now it's time for... Today I learned.
This Today I Learned is by Design Responsibly.
If this is about euthanasia, Bill, I swear to God.
Yeah, right.
Today I learned that...
Mm-hmm. Is he going to say it?
You can see his eyes
darting between the phone and back up to like, do I make this joke?
Do I make a joke about... I would never joke about euthanasia.
No, I want to learn. Look, I want to learn. Give me a fact.
Today I learned that two brothers from a set of triplets fooled a Russian prison when one brother swapped places with the other to give him a brief taste of freedom. Rather than returning, the freed brother ran off with his brother's girlfriend. It took years for the authorities to realize they had been duped.
Can you imagine... Like, if you're that brother being like, you don't, no, I'm not the guy. And they're like, uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Do you know how many people say that their twin brother is?
No, we're not twins, we're triplets.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God, get him.
I wonder what the third brother was doing at the time.
Yeah, yeah, the third brother's just like, I'm staying out of it. I'm not getting in the family drama.
I think the idea was probably they were like, oh, look, we'll just take turns. You know, we'll do a third each of this life sentence.
They were prestiging it.
But then,
spoiled to it.
But then they realized that, the one brother, the first brother that got out and ran away, then the third brother was like, well, what if I get in there? And then the other one runs away.
The other one was like,
he's not going to swap in.
I don't want to. Geez, only two more years and then I get, but the other brother will come and swap out.
Yeah.
2 years pass and he's, every day he goes to the visitors thing and sits there and waits.
Yeah.
And he visits today. No. I think he ran out with your second wife.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's such salt in the wounds as well.
Yeah.
But he actually ran away with his brother's girlfriend.
Yes. I mean, the question is, first of all, the question is, did the girlfriend know?
Oh!
Was it a super trick? Did she?
I would assume only because she'd be like, remember that restaurant we went to? And you'd be like, no.
Maybe he was just a bad boyfriend.
Oh.
He was in jail, so he was probably the worst.
But was he? No, because the boyfriend wasn't in jail. His brother was.
Yeah, so the original brother was such a bad boyfriend that not remembering their past, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true.
So, presumably at some point you could fingerprint them and see that they're not the same person, right?
Yeah.
Because even identical... twins. I'm assuming they're identical, right? Yeah. They're not just babies. So I'm assuming they're identical.
You're a little bit taller, but sure, yeah.
We've sort of got a similar nose.
Yeah, so they will still have non-identical fingerprints.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
So presumably, but like, you know, just like, just fingerprint me. Nah, I'm not going to fingerprint you because... Why would they? So I wonder how long, like, presumably that was what it took in the end, right?
Do you think he kept leaving his fingerprints around? Don't test them. Oh,
exactly. Just didn't wash his hands for weeks. Oh, they got grubby.
Touching all kinds of surfaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And I also wonder, like,
how'd they do the swap?
That's my question.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, one of them's like, I'm just ducking out for a second. And he goes up to the gate.
Yeah, where do you duck out?
Well, surely the bathroom.
And then...
They just it's like there's no, I'm saying if you're gonna duck out somewhere, if there's like a visitor's room and it's like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom.
But surely the prisoners and the
swap around, you know,
don't
handing
have the same...
nail files to each other in but the also, bathroom.
Surely... Okay, you explain it, Cambo.
I'm saying surely the criminals, like the prisoners and the guests, don't use the same bathroom.
No. Now I should point out one thing. Is that I didn't read the article, obviously, because I'm not going to waste my time with
that.
But there was a photo.
Yep.
And it was looked like a pretty old photo.
Right.
Ah, could be very old.
So, like...
It was pre-fingerprints.
It could have been pre-fingerprints.
That had been
No one had fingerprints until 1942.
Yeah, that's right. When Thomas Edison invented them.
What people used to do to keep track of prisoners before fingerprints, right? To identify people before fingerprinting was common, which probably would have been at this time, but maybe not in that area.
Yeah.
What they used to do is they just took... they did vital statistics, right? And they took measurements.
Okay.
So they would go like, oh, what's the width of his head? What's the length of his arm? What's the length of his leg? Okay. Does he have any scars? Does he have any... And they would just do all of these various body measurements.
Right.
Like of usually bones, right? That aren't going to change. Mm. And then you would just measure the new... person and go, yeah, that's him, right? Like, they look the same, but more importantly, their jaw is just as far from their forehead as their heart.
Okay.
Twins, identical twins, those probably all matched up.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right? And if they don't have any other identifying, you know, no one tattooed a number 2 on his forehead because he was the second born, you know, then maybe that was it. Maybe they just didn't have the appropriate tools on hand.
Yeah, that's right.
And I also love a good prison escape story when it's a really simple escape, like swapping with a twin,
because
you can only ever do that once, and that person ruins that strategy for everyone else. There's another great one. Have you ever seen the movie I Love You, Philip Morris?
No. Yes.
Okay. So it's the true story about this con man, and he broke out of prison. I think I probably get the number wrong. I think it was 9 times, but a lot of the ways that he broke out of prison were the simplest things you could imagine. One, he just wrote a lot of letters as his own lawyer and eventually got himself off.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
The best one was and the thing is, like, he was just ballsy. He really did all these things. He was just real calm about it. Is that he deliberately got into a lot of fights, and kept getting sent to the hospital in the prison until he eventually stole a name tag. And then he just took his prison uniform that was white and he dyed it in his toilet so it was green. And then he got sent to the hospital again, put on a name tag
and just walked out the door. Oh, that's lovely. And then the 9th time, he took a little rock hammer that he'd had all along, hid it in his Bible. He had a picture, a poster of Rita Hayworth? I think it was,
yeah.
On the wall, and he just started tunneling. And eventually, he found his way into a sewer pipe and out the other end, went to Sehuataneo.
Let me tell you, and I don't want to spoil the movie because you should watch it, but the 9th time is actually maybe crazier than that, how he actually got out of prison.
Yeah, that's true.
It's legitimately crazy.
Tunneling through a wall actually makes way more sense than how he did it.
Oh, right.
I mean, should we ruin it?
No, don't ruin it.
No.
Look at none of the audience. Oh, the audience. Yeah, that's right. The audience hasn't seen the movie.
Mm. Well, it's
you
been
don't
that
want to spoil
long.
It for the
look,
audience.
Look, at the end of the Titanic, okay, the quickly, boat sinks.
Quickly, tweet in.
No, let's not spoil it. But if you get a chance, watch I Love You, Philip Morris. Sometime this week.
So that we can eventually talk about that one thing. Okay, all right. Good. I've got another one here for you.
Okay.
This is by Burgundied. It's probably Burgundied. Anyway, today I learned that Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo.
The film director.
Yeah, but you said that you said his first name really fast. Slow down how you say his first name.
It's Guillermo.
Guillermo.
I think so.
Wow, that's nothing. It's Guillermo.
Don't get caught up on the double L's. The double L's don't mean nothing.
No, you're probably right, but that's just ridiculous.
Guillermo del Toro.
Okay. Guillermo del Toro.
GDT.
His father was kidnapped in Mexico, and the kidnappers wanted $1 million for his release. James Cameron became aware of this and paid the ransom, even recommending a negotiator.
Okay.
Did you know about this?
No.
You know about film stuff.
You know facts.
You know about kidnappings.
What? Shut up. So presumably then, this is after he was somewhat a Hollywood big hitter.
You don't know how much of a philanthropist James Cameron is.
Yeah. And he's like, and you know what, kid? Make a film.
Yeah.
I like the way you handled this. Make Shape of Water in 20 years.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's, and the rest is history.
Because Del Toro's been making movies since like the 90s. So presumably it happened in his filmmaking career at some point.
Yeah, I guess. Because that's probably what, like, presumably that's why he was kidnapped, right? You don't just kidnap random people on the street and ask for $1 million. Mm. You have to assume someone's got $1 million.
James Cameron.
Maybe in... that's probably true. Yeah. I was trying to work out a loophole, but nope, that's solid. Yeah, that's definitely what you would do.
I don't think it's one of those kidnapper. Just like, look, eventually we're going to hit someone rich.
Well, I thought they might go to like a rich area, you know, and then just capture a random person. Like, you're a rich person in Mexico. You probably got $1 million.
What? Not the point.
Not the point. Anyway.
So, but then James Cameron. Okay, that's like, James Cameron is an interesting guy. But never did I imagine that he was the kind of guy that's like, I can get a hostage back.
Yeah, well, who do you think the negotiator was? Do you think it was just James Cameron? Like, he was like, I got this negotiator friend. His name is Kames Jammeron. He's a real good friend of mine. And he just puts on a fake moustache.
Yeah.
All right, come back. We're going to talk about it. But we want a token that you're going to give us the hostages.
Can you imagine, like, he's like, I'll negotiate this.
Are you a fan of Avatar?
No.
Titanic?
I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, that's right. I can write you in. Look, good theory, but I'm thinking something more sinister.
Right.
Okay.
Well, of course you are.
I mean, Guillermo del Toro.
Yep.
That's a suspicious name. We've covered that already, obviously.
What are those L's doing there? If you're not pronouncing them, why are they there?
Why even have them there?
What are they there for?
Very suspicious, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Also, from Mexico, I've heard from Donald Trump that those Mexicans are suspicious.
Right.
So...
And that's where you get a lot of your moral compass.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
I see now.
This is what I imagine happened one day, right? James Cameron and Del Toro, they're at like an after party.
Two peas in a pod.
From Avatar, right? Yep. Avatar after party.
Yep.
James Cameron's like, hey, come over. Let's have some drinks.
Sure.
And they get really drunk. And they get to that point, you know, when you get really drunk and you're with a friend, you're like, you know what? I love you, man. I would do anything for you. I would pay $1 million to save you or a family member's life.
I do all the time. You know? All the time. You know.
And Del Toro is going, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's Mexican. He can hold his liquor. So, right? He's nowhere near as drunk as James Cameron. Donald Trump told me this.
Look, Bill, if you spend too long on Reddit, you eventually end up on the Donald subreddit. And this is what's happened in Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go. I'll pivot your story away from the racism. So what actually happened, right, is they found out that his father was kidnapped. They thought, well, we don't have $1 million because they were, you know, they're financing some films. They didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they went off into the forest and, you know, they fought some big spiders and things like that. And they found a red gem. Okay. And then they kind of went off to the desert. They found like a yellow gem in the desert. They found like a green gem in some city full of some weird people. They met a girl on the way with like a pet animal. And it was a really, really good thing. And they wrote about it afterwards. And it was the Del Toro quest.
Right.
Oh.
That is a niche joke.
Fans of there. Emily Rodda out there.
There's going to be a lot of people enjoying that joke.
Nelson, let's just be silent for a second to let Bill really know that we didn't understand that joke.
Here, let me just try it again. A Del Toro quest.
Okay. Look, it's sad that this is an audio medium because your eyebrows really sold it.
You were really waggling those eyebrows then.
But you know what? I'm glad that you told that joke because I feel like it just proves again that you are the most intelligent person on this podcast.
Also, this is children's literature from the 1990s.
This is exactly what I meant. Literature? What are you talking about? I was watching Ninja Turtles.
This is one of the rare occasions where you've proven yourself to be the most intelligent, but also pop on the dunce cap.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah. No, look, bit of both.
You mark my words. Next episode, you will have an email from Cousin Rowan. It's like, oh, Del Toro Quest. I love Del Toro Quest.
Oh,
Bill,
okay.
You guys are idiots.
All right. Challenge.
That's very out of vogue. The gems that everyone's talking about at the moment is Infinity War.
I thought you were going to be Infinity War gems.
If we're talking about collecting gems,
yeah,
you talk about Avengers Infinity War, because that is the premise of that movie.
I probably would have got the Del Toro thing, but I just started thinking about Infinity War.
You're like, that was a good part when he
came. Yeah. I was like, how's he going to link this back to Thanos?
By the way, sketch idea. I don't know if I pitched this to you before, but I wanted to do an infomercial called Thanos Direct.
Okay.
in which...
No,
stop there.
That's all you need.
Okay.
That's all you need. No, okay, keep going.
No, there's not much more to it.
Okay. I'm glad that's all it was. It's just
a funny
name.
Title.
Just the name. Funny title. I liked it. It was good. Okay. Was there anything worth finishing off there? No, probably not. Okay. Should we then go into shower thoughts?
Shower thought is by Jabberticle, and this is coincidental because it's a Del Toro quest.
Corrupt cops are just undercover criminals. Last time Bill was on the show, we had one about undercover cops. Something about
true.
Them. I can't remember what.
The only problem is, surely most criminals are undercover criminals.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of their whole milieu.
There aren't really overt criminals.
No, but there used to be, and I miss that. In like the 20s, you had those like famous bank robbers. And like they'd come out of the bank and they'd be like, tell them it was the O'Connell gang, and they shoot their name into the wall and they drive off. I miss those kind of criminals.
That's true.
I mean, Jesse James, you know, everyone knew who Jesse James was.
I think there's a reason why they're not around anymore.
Well, it's because before fingerprint and things like that, what are you going to do? You're like, well, they're not here, so I guess they got away.
And it also always felt back then. Like, if you had, like, four guys with Tommy guns, you could fight the police force.
Yeah.
They're going to rock up and be like, stop robbing banks, please.
No,
I'm just going to keep robbing banks. Come on.
And I'm basing this entirely on, like, old photographs and whatnot. But everyone looked the same. It's like, what did it look like? He had black, slick back hair and his real clean cut. Well, that's me and you and him over there.
Yeah, that's right.
That was why Bonnie and Clyde could make it, because they started describing all the men. Like, no. Oh, and one of them was a woman. A woman?
There they are.
Okay. That's a good point. Yep. Okay.
Like, you know you've made it as a criminal if you can be a non-undercover criminal. Yeah. Like, if you can just be like,
hey,
I'm a criminal. Boom, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? You can just... That's when you know you've made it.
Just don't talk to Sean Penn. Apparently, he bloody did him in.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
Well, no.
Okay, we'll move on. I don't want to explain it.
Well, what if listeners now want to know?
Okay, so Al Chapo, famous like cartel criminal.
Yeah.
And apparently, he did an interview with Sean Penn.
Right.
The actor.
Yeah.
I didn't hang out with him. You're thinking of Alan Tudyk.
Right.
But then very shortly after his interview with Sean Penn, he was arrested. And the theory is that Sean Penn gave away his location to the authorities after his interview.
Sneaky. Well, I should hope so.
Well, yeah, it's a bloody snitch.
I mean, that...
Sean Penn, of which there are many, much more important... Yeah, let's hate him because he snitched on a drug lord.
Yeah. What a prick.
Yeah.
There are those things about reporters being, you know, there's this ethical dilemma of do you get involved or do you... There's that famous photo of, like, a guy who takes a photo of a starving child and it's getting eaten by a vulture.
Yeah.
Do you know the photo?
Yes.
I can't remember
who did it. It's a big controversy over whether he should have,
like, saved the child or, like, got rid of it. And he was like, no, I'm just a bystander reporting on what's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of very light, fluffy topics we're bringing up this episode, isn't it?
Yeah. Gosh, give me a... Let's shout out. Let's bring
the ethics
back.
Of journalism, euthanasia, you know, fun stuff.
I can get my dad on. He can talk about the ethics of journalism.
This one is going to bloody get you.
Okay. Don't try and hype these up.
If you... Oh, this is by Tinkleberg.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't look back on your past self and cringe, and then you didn't grow as a person.
I think
that's accurate.
No.
I don't know.
You don't have to be embarrassed by everything to have cringe. Grown.
I feel like that's far different.
I'm not going to get into this, but fine.
I'm in two minds about this.
I understand the idea being like, you look back and go, oh, what an idiot I was. Thank God I've grown so much. I'm not like that anymore.
If you weren't like that anymore, you wouldn't cringe, right? You wouldn't look back and go, oh, I can't believe 10 years ago I posted passive aggressive things on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to post passive aggressively about that on Facebook.
The thing is, I don't think you need to be embarrassed to have grown.
No, there are other ways of growing that isn't just, oh, I was an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a good, 2 feet taller than I was when I was a child.
No, you're thinking of physically growing, Bill. This is a mistake. Yeah, I was thinking that at first.
Oh, really?
But we're talking emotionally.
I don't understand.
It's like growth, but emotional.
Okay, so you.
So I can love 2 feet taller than I could before.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the physics of that.
Don't. That's my advice, that you don't think about the physics of that.
See, it's not physical. It's emotional. God, don't you understand?
Oh, God.
See, Nelson, you're thinking of growing physically.
Yes. Oh. But this is my question.
Yeah.
Can you... So you can grow as a person without...
being embarrassed.
Being embarrassed.
Cringing. Yeah.
Cringing. Can you do that your entire life?
You're inevitably going to be embarrassed by stuff from your past. I think that's natural. But I don't think that that's the only way you could have grown, is to be embarrassed by things before.
I mean, I don't want to pull you up on anything, but I don't think they're saying that either.
I think it wasn't at that point. If you don't look back and cringe, you haven't grown.
Not exclusively.
Okay, well, they should state that.
I mean, I'm just saying, my question is, can you grow up never cringing at your past?
I don't think you can. I think the entire basis of how humans grow socially is a series of cringing at yourself. You know, everyone has those memories when they were like 5 and they did the wrong thing, and 40 years later they'll look back and be like, I can't believe I said that. Oh my God, why did I say that when I was 5?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that is how, like, those are the lessons that turn you into a person who is good, yes, right? Like,
yeah,
those are what you remember. No one's like, but, oh, remember when I did that good thing that everyone praised before? You don't remember that. You throw those away and you remember when you did something stupid.
Okay. Here's my thing. Let's get deep.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Is that sculpted by our society?
Yes.
And could we, so perhaps if we were just, living life on the land, mm-hmm, right?
Yep.
No social... normalities, right?
Yeah.
Could we then grow up not ever experiencing those cringeworthy things? Because, like, maybe embarrassment comes from social, like, you know.
I have had similar feelings in an unsocial way, completely unrelated to social, in certain, like, learning skills, right?
Okay.
Where you pick up a hobby and you do it. And, you know, a year in, you think, oh, I'm really good at this hobby. Here's all this stuff that I know how to do, and I really know how to do it.
Okay.
And then a year later, you go, God, I knew nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
What
yeah,
an
yeah.
idiot. I thought. I really thought that too. This was how you did it. Mm. And like, for me, that happens, like, every year. You go back and think, everything I ever thought about this hobby is wrong. Yeah. I'm so dumb.
Okay, that's true.
Outside
that's
of social point. Stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had something similar. 85 episodes of this, I've now realized we've done wrong. But this one, I feel
this
good about.
This is the good one.
I feel good about
every
this
episode.
One.
I realize that we've done it wrong the previous episodes.
Yeah.
We were meant to go on 4chan. This is where we've gone wrong.
Reddit on 4chan.
doesn't have quite the ring to it.
Well, does 4chan on 4chan make sense, Bill? No, sounds obviously.
Disgusting.
Now we're going to have to change our name to it.
Okay, good. That was good. I appreciated those answers.
Okay, cool.
I'm just trying to be more positive.
No, yeah. Here you go. Can you go the other way? Surely there are people who look back and they're like, oh, I can't believe I once gave that old woman back the $100 that she dropped. Now I just spend it on Lotto. God, so cringy back then.
Yeah,
people can regress and cringe on their past selves.
Yeah, okay. I think that's true. One of Nelson's heroes, Donald Trump, is very much like that. He looks back and he's like, oh my God, I'm so awesome now. But also, I was kind of awesome then as well.
I don't think that's right. I'm thinking the brother who took over the jail sentence.
Yeah.
is probably...
But he's maybe gross.
He looks forward and cringes. Like, oh, God, a life in prison. How embarrassing.
What a faux pas.
Okay, here's another one. This is by Reddit's Last Hope.
Okay.
North Korea is acting like the one person you used to hate but suddenly becomes really nice to you and you can't decide whether they're genuine or not.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. What do you make of this whole situation?
Fake news, Cambo.
Okay.
You know who told me that?
Okay, yeah. I get the gist. So here's what I think is... Here's what I think is the problem with like news media as it is.
Yeah, break it down.
Let me
break it down, camera.
Oh, okay. Hang on,
you tell him. You school. Roll
my sleeves up a little more. Right, yes. But so I was on a news website because I'm a woke guy.
Yeah.
And there was an article about Avicii passed away. Right?
Sure.
Avicii passed away at 28. Article below that was about things you didn't know about Avicii. Then below that was about someone from Married at First Sight. And below that says North Korea declares that it will stop its nuclear weapon manufacturing. Like, that one should be at the top, shouldn't it? The DJ dying is very sad, but affects less people. Perhaps North Korea agreeing to maybe put on hold their nuclear weapons should be a little higher in the news hierarchy.
Yeah. Nah, I'm okay with maybe. It being lower.
Okay.
It's like,
you were a big Avicii fan.
Obviously. No, I'm not. I just think that it is...
I think it's a bit of a non...
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I think it's a non
like,
thing.
So, like,
totally.
First of all, there's a whole, like, people like, oh, you know, they've suddenly decided to stop their nuclear program. Well, no, they just had that huge underground explosion that wiped out all of their nuclear program.
Yeah.
So, it's not, they're not necessarily giving much up right now. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a kid who's dropped his cake on the floor. He's like, now I'll share it with you, friend. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're not doing a nice thing.
It's that thing, like, the big explosion went off. They're like, do you want to start again? He's like, how far's the border? A couple of K's that way. Oh, let's go to the border. It's fine. Let's scrap this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, this could be one of these moments. Like, this could be one of these amazing watershed moments of like, oh, like, this is when the Korea situation changed.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Who knows, right? Yeah. Like, and there's a clear reason this has happened when it has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, it's like the friend who is suddenly being nice to you and coming back into your life, and then you go, oh,
yeah.
Like, he just lost his house and has no money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm seeing where this is coming
from.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, yeah, right? It's a bit...
I agree. I thought it was a good point. Here's another one.
Okay. Would you like more time, Nelson?
Well, I was just checking how long we've gone. We've actually gone for quite a while.
Okay. Special episode, actually.
It's premium content.
Okay.
It's a 2-hour episode.
This is by Peer Peer Peer. The most effective alarm clock...
Would be that username?
Is the same.
Peer 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 Peer.
I'd wake up from that. The most effective alarm clock is the sound of your cat / dog throwing up on the floor.
Oh, yes. That is a bad wake up.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a... Oh, shit. I got to get it.
I know.
I just got to... I just put this over here. No, wait. Oh, okay. Yeah. I got it. He's on the balcony.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Oh, I'm awake now.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've only had a cat before. And even just getting woken up by any sound my cat made...
Mm.
Was you know, enough to get me up. In fact, one night I was with my girlfriend and we woke up from no longer with her.
Oh, she's bragging.
Anyway, and so I just heard the cat like meow really weirdly and loudly in
meow.
The lounge room, and I was like, yeah, I was like, oh,
meow,
screw some balls. And then turns out there was another cat in the lounge room as well.
Oh, no.
That had come through the cat door and had to like chase it out. But that was unfortunate because that was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I feel like it would be really good if what I'm saying is, Cambo.
Yep.
When I need to get up for work.
Sure.
Can you just pretend to throw up?
Before I leave in the morning, I'll stuff two fingers down my throat.
Yeah.
Problem is though, it'd be one of those things where where it works really well for a week, and then next week your cat will be throwing up, and you're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my bloody alarm again. You wake up in the middle of the night, it's like, get out of here, cat, and then you're never going to interact with it again.
That's true. I set like 10 alarms every morning because, you know, 9 stopped doing it for me. So
here's the thing, right? So normally, lately, I've been carpooling to where I work. And the person I carpool with is normally very early. So I get up very early and I get up when my alarm goes off and whatever. But now that they're like not in the country and I drive myself, I set like 10 alarms. Like, obviously, if someone is waiting on me, I'm very good. But if it's my own problem, then that's I don't care about me enough to get up the first time.
Yeah, but that's just basic consideration. I'm just bragging.
I'm a very considerate man. Allow me to pivot to something kind of related. It's interesting to think, like, when you get up, you're like, I need, like, I don't know, 40 minutes to get ready or whatever your thing might be. Unless you're late, it can really show you how quickly you can get ready and how much of that you spend a lot more time than you need to doing. If you wake up and you're late to something and you're dressed like that, you brush your teeth like that and you're out the door.
Mm. See, that's terrible for me because I do that one day and then I'm like, great, my morning routine is 5 minutes now. And so when I wake up in the morning and I'm looking at my alarm, it's like, oh, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it the other day.
Yeah.
You know, you start you start going, you know, you go to bed thinking, oh, you know what, I'm going to get up and like fry some eggs for breakfast.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you got, you know, an hour before work and you go, okay, I could probably just have toast.
You do that thing.
And then you fall asleep for 20 minutes. Then you wake up and go, there's a yogurt in the fridge.
You do that thing where you make deals with yourself about how much you could cut from your routine.
Exactly. Oh, well, I cleaned my teeth last night. Yeah.
I would like to say that I am the consequence of what happens when you get into those routines, right? Because I used to, you know, wake up late all the time, all the time. I'm bad sleep, bad morning person, right?
Yeah.
And then till it got to a point where I wake up, I've got like 5 minutes to get ready, but it's like, you know, the 10th day in a row this has happened. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get there when I get there. And then that's my mentality. Yeah, I wake up, I'm like, I'll probably be late today. that's about it.
Isn't that such a refresh? Like, there's such a, this, it cuts over to like, it's really frantic, really frantic. And then you get to a point, you go, I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It is not, you can't reach that moment. And like once you're 5 minutes late, you can be 15 minutes late.
I imagine that sensation they say when you're drowning and then you become really calm.
Yeah, bring it back to some death. You know, we got a bit too lighthearted.
There wasn't enough death in this in this podcast.
But they say that when you're drowning, at one point you just become really calm. Yeah, and right? That's what happens when you're late. You're like,
this,
you know,
is
what?
The moment.
I'm now late.
Is that?
Yeah. And then you just go, okay, I'll make some proper breakfast. Yeah. I'll put on dishes. Maybe I'll have a shower. I'm already gone.
Yeah.
I might
get 10 more minutes in bed.
Yeah.
You know what? It's 1 o'clock. I may as well have lunch now, I guess. I'll go after lunch. Lunch went a bit late. You know what? Tomorrow I'll go in.
Exactly.
By the way, somebody's got to have made up that fact about drowning, right?
I don't know.
Guy that's just drowned to death.
To bring back to movies that I can spoil of The Prestige, isn't that a big moment in The Prestige? People die from drowning and there's a character early on who says, oh, you know, I once knew someone who died from drowning. You know, they said it was like going home, and then they bring it back at the end of the episode, at the end of the movie, say, do you know what they said about drowning? Oh, they said it was going home. No, I lied. They said it was hell. It was torture. It's like, oh, no.
That's true. Great. Thanks for spoiling another movie, Bill.
And then they escape from prison 9 times, and here's how they do it on the 9th time. They dress up like a llama, and people say, llamas aren't in prison, and they let him out.
He has seen
them. Oh, my God.
I got it, right?
It was spot on.
I got it.
Okay. Well, let's get into Ask Reddit.
Ask Reddit.
Okay. This Ask Reddit is by Musu007. You will get $10 million cash. Done.
Next question.
What about you, Cambo?
Yeah, do you want $10 million cash?
Yeah, sure. No consequence. That sounds great.
Perfect.
But you will die instantly. Oh, sorry, you're both dead. But
we died rich.
Leave it to my estate.
But Samuel L. Jackson will be there to shout, "Motherfucker!" For every dollar you spend, will you be happy, and why? I like that it's actually not an option. It's not that you can take it or not. It's saying, "Will you be happy?"
Yeah, this is why.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
So I.
But you'll here's be, the thing: you'll be for happy. Every dollar, so if I buy like a $10,000 TV,
yeah, does he have to do it 10,000 times,
or is it one big motherfucker for that purchase?
See, I'm going to say no. I don't think it's for every dollar. I think that's part of it. You know, do you just buy a couple of really big things so you don't have to have that many motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Mm. Or do you just like, oh, whatever, I like hearing him say it.
Loophole. He has to say it for every dollar. Okay. Spend $10 million. You buy a train. You take the train along, and Samuel L. Jackson, they're going, motherfucker, 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 the whole journey. It's perfect, done, $10 million. I've got
good. Well, that was okay. Good. I like that.
Loophole. You get $10 million, and he says it for every dollar you spend of that $10 million. Mm-hmm. But if you spend your own personal money, does he still say it?
No.
So you could just buy day-to-day things with your money.
Yeah.
And then when you have a big frivolous purchase, like a house, you get a motherfucker every now and then.
Oh, I thought it was kind of like, you're like, hey, you know I know Samuel L. Jackson? And they're like, no, you don't. Like,
hang on.
let me buy that drink off you, okay? Here's $5. He just comes rushing into the room. Yeah. Motherfucker, motherfucker, motherfucker. Oh, my God, you do know him. Yep, that's right. All right, that's thanks. True. Thanks, Sam. I was thinking of another loophole.
Yeah.
He's bound to die.
So just save the money at some point.
Like, he's much older than me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He's older than he appears. I think he's edging on
70. Like 97.
He's edging on... he's edging on 70, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I'm, like, approximately 30.
Yep.
So what's that, 40... Yeah, 40 yeah. years? Good math. Well, I did that so fast, I surprised myself.
Well, that dunce hat was wiggling on. Yeah. But you're right.
I got it. Yeah, it's like, because then if I'm, you know, he's got another, like...
Don't push it. 20, don't push this
20-ish
you're
years.
You're not going to catch up. 20,
like, max 20 years left.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'll be roughly 50.
Uh-huh.
That's good. I've got a good amount of time to spend that $10 million without the consequence of, you know...
Yeah, okay.
Him saying it.
Yes. I like that we both immediately went for loopholes.
Yeah.
I just went for trains.
You went for a good joke.
Okay, how about loophole? Move to another country. Spend as many peso as you want.
Hey!
He doesn't have to say
that. Why don't you buy $10 million worth of Bitcoin and then online purchases?
But then, I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? Like, when you're converting the currency, isn't that the point in which he then...
But you just get it all out of the way at once. You get 10 million motherfuckers right away as you're transferring money.
I mean, that's a long time. Somebody needs to work out the maths on that. Like him saying motherfucker as fast as he can, mm-hmm. 10 million times, how much time is that worth?
Well, you're good at maths.
Oh, it was about 40? 40, oh, 40 yeah. times?
40 increments of time.
40 length? I don't know. Okay. Right. Anyway, here's another one.
Okay.
This is by... Tyrion Bananister.
Okay.
Hmm, pretty hilarious. There's a room in your house where time doesn't flow.
Sure.
You could stay in there for as long as you could possibly want, mm-hmm. and not a second will have passed outside that room.
Yep.
What would you use this room for?
I've seen Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my god.
You just train to fight the Saiyans.
You would become
when
Super
Frieza's
Saiyan.
Coming back, you're just like, alright, I'll jump in there. What's it called? Time chamber?
Yeah.
So close, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, looking at the wrong guy. I don't know.
Ah, oh, Canberra, you're the worst.
I know.
You would never defeat Frieza. I guess.
Or so cooler.
The thing is, what you could use this for is to... It still doesn't cut down any of the work for you, but you look impressive.
Hyperbolic time chamber.
He's got it.
Thank you.
He's got it.
This doesn't... cut down any hard work for you, but it makes you look impressive.
Well, I just stepped into the other room, waited about 30 minutes while I tried to remember hyperbolic time chamber, and then I came out, looked like I was right on time.
But I'm saying, like, summer's coming up, and you've let yourself go. You're a fat slob.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't worry, I'll shed this weight in no time. And then they come back the next day, and you're ripped.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, how did he do that? And you're like, well, you know, it's like dedication, you know, I'm very got a fast mentality. Like you look
perfect.
As if you can just get into shape whenever you want, but really that took a year and a half.
Like you're in the middle of a podcast, you go, look, I'm 30 years old. So that's about
close the door.
Oh, I'm back 40 years.
See, I think the problem with that is like I get into the room like, right, Nelson, time to bloody work out.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I do like one workout session. And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, I haven't done enough. And then, you know, maybe I need to go out and get a snack or something to eat, like, or go to the toilet.
So you quickly run out, time starts again, you run back in.
Yeah, that's right. So I'd run out, like, you know, bring food back, start eating that, maybe do another workout. I'm like, oh, I need to sleep or whatever. So I'd do that. And then after like a few weeks, I'd be like, well, yeah, I've done pretty well at this exercising. I'll have some chocolate, you know, just as like little reward for myself.
Celebration.
And then I'd get bored of exercising, and then I'd just stay at the constant weight for years. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what my life has been already. Yeah. You telling myself that I'll get fit, but then just, you know.
You'd come out several years older than you walked in.
I'd have a massive beard, but just still be the same weight.
Yeah. Nelson, you've aged terribly in that 5 minutes. I know.
Yeah. But yeah, I think... maybe not so much physicalness, but I would try and increase my intellect.
Okay.
You know, yep. While I'm in there. I feel like I'd read more. Okay, yep. There's times where, like just the other night, I was playing God of War.
Sure.
And looked at the time, 5 a.m.
<Jesus, laughs> like, really?
Whoa, that's a problem. And I was meant to be up like semi-early. And,
I mean, you were.
And then,
You were very early, Nelson.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, if anything, I went to sleep early.
Yes. You're finally the next on time. Day. And you're ruined.
But, yeah, so I was like, those are the times when I need that sort of room. So, like, okay, I'm going to play games. I'm going to ruin my life in this room. But
it'd be too when tempting, I come though, out, like, just because there'd be a point where you're just like, well, I mean, I'm still only halfway through.
Yeah.
You know, and you just
you just keep going.
And then everyone would mourn your young death as an old man.
Yeah, exactly.
He may have looked like a 90-year-old man, but apparently he was in his mid-30s.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that's why it's so good, actually, that this is just a room. If I had the power to stop time, I would definitely, age horribly. But if it's just one room, I feel as though I could...
You'd limit yourself somewhere.
I could sort of limit myself. I'd be forced to, you know, go outside at some point. You know, even if it's just a pee.
There's something really sad about that feeling of lost time. I always get that. You know, when you hear about like people, because people talk about this in a legitimate sense with like, oh, if we could get to this point of space travel,
yeah.
But traveling at this speed in this era, you would, you know, for every 1 year of your life, that would be 100 years on Earth. And you kind of think there's something so like sad about that. Like coming back and being like, whoa, okay, like, and even like. Even just like a year, you just feel like, oh, like I'm so out of...
You're a year out of sync.
I'm now a year older, but nothing has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, so they're kind of the opposite. Like, you spend 10 years and you come back and it's only been a day and you kind of think, oh, I feel so behind. And now it's like, now I'm 10 years late for everything. And everything, I missed out on 10 years of future that I could have seen.
In a way, this is the great tragedy of Captain America.
Exactly.
That was very poignant, Cambo.
He missed all of the rest of the war.
Yep.
You know?
He was loving that war.
He was loving
He
the
was
war.
Having a great time in that war.
Exactly.
And then he missed the Vietnam War.
Oh, he would have loved it.
He wasn't helpful in any of those.
I mean, he could still make the Korean War. That's still going on, technically.
That's true.
That's true.
For now.
There's plenty of wars going on. You know? Pick a war.
Infinity War.
Go to that one. Oh, he is in that one. Okay. All right. That's it for Ask Reddit.
Okay.
Now we can get into the question to make you like us.
Joy.
That's all I'm going to say. Right?
I need a theme song for the questions.
I'm sick of explaining it to people. We should. Go. Bill, go.
Like me, say that you like me. There you go, done.
Cool. Okay.
That's about the quality, right?
I'll make that into something next week.
What do you mean make it into something? That's it. That's perfect.
Okay. Where's the backing?
Exactly. Know?
There's no beat.
Like me, say that you like me.
That cool. was good, actually.
Yeah,
that
okay,
was good.
Not bad.
Okay, that'll be in there next week.
I like that we both instinctively actually were quiet.
I know, because we can take a clip. Okay. Right, this is question number 15. I'm so glad you're here, Bill. Well, one of you say a word... The next say a word that starts with the last letter of the word just said. Do this, until you've said 50 words.
Okay, that's bullshit. So what we should do instead...
Any words will do.
No, any words
will
do.
You aren't making a sentence.
Any words will do. No, we're not going to do that. This is the only way... This is how you play trivia games.
Okay.
Right? You pick countries or world capitals.
And
you
just, oh, God.
You just pull it through that way.
We're not good at knowledge.
This is bad. I did learn a lot of countries one day, but then that was... But I've lost
what
a
you
lot
did
of
with
it.
The day.
I play this...
I did. I literally went through... No, this is... Because I tried to learn... this is a bit of a tangent here, but I tried to learn... you know that Mind Palace thing?
Yeah.
Which Sherlock Holmes does?
Right.
Because I was listening to a TED Talk where some guy ended up winning this memory competition, like World Memory Championships. And he talks about how to do it. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. And I was like, what could I apply that to? And then I learned probably like 50 countries, maybe... 40 countries, and then I stopped because I was like, "Why am I doing this?"
So Danny does this because Danny knows the capital of every country in the world. Right. Like, you can just, it's a fun game. You're just like, "Oh, what's capital of Oman?" And she's like, "Oh, here it is, capital of Oman."
I like that you picked one that you didn't know.
I don't know, because right? Well, that would be belittling her experience. Like, cause she knows, she does everything. I know a few, right?
You could have literally said anything.
Yeah,
we would have been like,
City.
"Yeah, see, like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's called Oman.
That could be true." And she just does it. So sometimes we play that same game, right? You do a country where you say the country and then they have to go with the next letter. But they don't. You say the country. They then say the capital. And then the final letter of the capital of that, you need to do a country. And then you have to, and it just keeps going on and on.
Wow.
It's absurd, but it's fun.
Bill, we're not good at things or knowledge or places.
Yeah, but 50 words is literally 50 words.
But we,
like, I think we all know words.
We all have something that we... passionate about, right?
Oh, you and me. Let's do some Marvel characters.
So I'm saying, Marvel like maybe it's movies or comics Canberra. For me. Maybe it's
Come
video games
me,
for Canberra. Nelson.
Join me in Marvel.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Okay.
Okay.
God, saying, Bill, you can do Marvel.
Maybe we stick with whatever themes that we think. Okay, this is my jam.
Okay. Oh yeah, right. I like that. So you still do the word game,
sure.
But
yes, I mean, it's. I don't. Want
I don't
to,
know if we actually should play this full game, right? I think we should.
50 words is a lot.
50 yeah. words. Is
we'll
a
do
lot
it till we get bored.
All right.
So like once. Well, okay, maybe like three times around.
Okay, so we do three each. That's nine.
Or
yeah,
nine
see, minutes. I'm good at maths. I went into that room.
Let's. We can do Marvel characters by elimination. As soon as you don't get one in a couple seconds, you're out.
But you guys are going to be way better.
No,
than
I don't know
characters.
Any Marvel characters. I'm just trying to.
Okay,
make
well, Canberra is going to.
Yeah, he's going to win, and that's fine.
We don't have to. We can do something broader.
Let's do 50 countries.
Let's start with Marvel characters, and if you can't do that, change the subject on your turn.
I like that.
Okay, all right.
I like that.
Well,
you can really screw over people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a DC character immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
We'll start with Iron Man.
And then I have an N, right? This is the final letter.
Yeah.
Are there any Marvel characters start with N? I'm going to go for...
I can think of a few.
Iron Man.
I don't think I can think of one either.
Nebula?
Nebula.
Oh,
that's what I said.
Obviously.
I said Nebula.
Obviously,
now you have A.
Obviously, Nebula. And then there's Ant-Man.
We're getting to N a lot, aren't we?
N. Yeah. Okay. There's going to be lots of N's. This is a terrible game.
Yeah, sure. A lot of man, isn't there?
Yeah.
And even Captain America. He's like, okay. Here's the problem. I know a lot of characters, so I could say a really obscure character, but how will you know if that's a real character?
That's true. It's
because
tough.
The listeners can, but
okay. Well, because
the listeners will keep you honest.
There's a character called Namor the Submariner.
Mm, yeah, you made that up for sure.
He's like the Marvel ripoff of Aquaman.
Okay, again, we've ended on an N. So
no, he's a Submariner.
No, Submariner.
I am Submariner.
I don't know where I got the N from. I should have gone to that room and spelled it out.
How many words are we up to? Oh,
yeah, see. It's a hard game to play on
go.
A podcast.
A. We've already done
no,
A as well.
No,
so far, we've just done...
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back to this. He's a mariner. He marins, right? So it's an action. It's with an R.
Give me the dunce cap. Okay.
Real Iron Man.
It's
supposed to fake
You've done
Iron
it
Man.
Again. I don't think I know an R one either.
Rex Raptor. We're on Yu-Gi-Oh characters now.
What the...
Oh, no.
Okay. Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood. I even tried to do something just completely different.
And we're on characters. No, we're now from the Fables comic books.
Okay.
Yeah, now okay. now it's oh no, well yeah, I was just saying nursery like, rhymes. Yeah,
okay. So Little Red Riding Hood D.
No, it's just Red Riding Hood because Little Red Riding Hood would have started with L. So I started from Red Riding Hood.
Okay. Red Riding Hood D, fable character with D. Nursery rhyme character. Well, if you're gonna cut off half of a
Dumpty.
Name. Yeah, I was gonna say Dumpty. We're going half names of nursery rhyme characters, go.
Humpty.
You can just say and Jill if you want.
Yemen, back to countries.
Okay.
Let's finish this
New Zealand!
Let's finish this terrible
game. I got one,
game.
New Zealand! Or was I meant to go to a capital? Anyway. Are we bored yet?
Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
But I got to say, I like you.
Okay.
just a little more.
You like
just
us a little bit. That's good.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Now, let's get into the Ask Me Anything.
Okay.
Where listeners of the show can ask us anything they want.
Yep.
Just like you, listener, or Bill.
Can you name 50 countries for me?
Can do.
No. You can ask us Akrotira. That.
I'm sorry.
Akrotira? It's like one of the first ones, if you're going in alphabetical order.
Akrotira. Where is Akrotira?
It's next to Afrotira. Okay, I made that. I didn't look at where the countries were. I just know it's a country.
What are their main exports of Akrotira? What language do they
speak? Steel, obviously.
Akrotira.
Do you know what? I'm going to look this up right
what,
now.
What, Akrotira? Okay.
Camber, you read the next question.
Speaking
I don't know how to spell it.
This is because it's not a country.
It is. It's spelled differently, but you say Akrotira.
It's about A-U-S-T-R-A.
It's pronounced. It's spelled England, but Nelson pronounced it Akrotira.
That's how the Welsh say it.
Okay, speaking of the make you like us questions, we have a question from Amanda. And she says, I'm feeling a bit guilty about the questions to make you like a segment because I found them. That's true. So I have the brilliant idea based on your segment about pie this week. Each week you could do a number from pie. Doesn't have to be in order or anything. It's like this week's random number from pie is, and then just say some number. 3, yay, or whatever. Good suggestion, but we are committed to going through the rest of these questions. And just know, Amanda, that you're the reason that we have a bad time about 3/4 of the way through this podcast.
Nelson, but you're not going to find it.
I'm finding it. Hold on.
Yeah, if you notice Nelson's absence in the podcast.
Because he's Googling a made-up country.
She suggested do a live show for your 100th, then we can all come and visit. I'll bring lollies. That's not a bad suggestion. But this week's question, are you listening, Nelson?
Accra is the capital of Turkey. Is that what you're thinking
I'm not.
Of?
That's not
Akra,
what it is.
Turkey?
I need to find my list.
I think that's the capital of Turkey. Might not be.
Ask this week's question, boys. Do you have a favorite movie actor that makes everyone go, huh, really? I love Keanu. He's such a robot. Amanda.
Oh, Keanu's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think Keanu's a weird one. I know a lot of people that love Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu's great.
He's a real chill dude.
Yeah, as both a person and like as an on-screen present.
Chill dude.
You know,
when he should emote, he's a real chill dude.
Now, I thought it was funny because the reasons why I don't think he's a good actor are the same reasons why Amanda thinks he's a good actor.
He's like a robot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, I appreciate that it wasn't... I didn't... You know, I'm glad that she didn't say, oh, he's such an emotional guy. He really, you know... Like, well, I'm glad that the reasons why I don't think he's a good actor and she thinks he is the same reason.
Well, famously, there was a stage production of Point Break. And what they would do is Johnny Utah is his character's name. And every night they would get someone from the audience to play that role to be like, look, you can't be any worse than Keanu Reeves. So you just play the role. And someone from the audience would play that role. I do have one. It's a bit of an obscure one, but it's an actor that I love and I think he's great and I love everything he's in. But he's not really like someone that people really look up to, I guess. It's John Bernthal is his name.
I don't know John Bernthal.
He's most published... I can't talk. He's most popular recently for playing the Punisher in the Punisher TV series. Before that, The Walking Dead is probably what he's known best for. Mm, but he pops up in a lot of movies I really like. And whenever he pops up, I'm always like...
It's always a nice moment.
Yeah, so he's my boy, John Bernthal. I like everything that he's in generally. And he's normally my favorite part of things. But it's not one that you'd be like, you know, there's an actor that I love on top of the game is John Bernthal.
One that always gets me... Is Julian McMahon.
Okay.
Right?
I know that I'm dropping names here, but I met Julian McMahon recently. Very leathery. He's very leathery.
Leathery?
To look at.
Oh.
Okay. He's spent a lot of time in a tanning bed, I would surmise.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, because Julie McMahon, like, there's something weird about him on screen. Right? Like, you remember him, like, obviously, right, the thing that made me love Julie McMahon was Charmed, yeah. right? Because he was Cole in Charmed, and it was fantastic, and sure. he did so well. And, like, the later seasons where he had, like, collected so many powers that he was immortal, and he was just trying to kill himself, and he couldn't do it, and right. he was just very weird about it. It was, like, he's great. But, like, you know, like, he was in the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, he was Victor Von Doom.
Yeah, and, like, just weird. He's just, like, he's kind of odd on screen. Because yeah. he's on first glance, he's like, oh, there's this kind of leading man handsome. And then yeah. you kind of go, what is it? I don't... And then, like, because there's something about the way that he just emotes, and it's just kind of strange, but it's really capturing.
Here's the thing about Julian McMahon. He has all the ingredients to have been a big Hollywood star.
Yes, and it never...
But it's missing something, and you don't know what it is.
But it's really good. I know, it really captures me as an actor. So if I see Julian McMahon in something, I'll be like, oh, that's cool. Hey, wow. Julian McMahon.
Okay.
Nelson?
It's the J-Man.
Mine is...
Son of the Prime Minister.
Only probably recently.
Mm-hmm.
People might say, huh? Really? I'd say Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
It's more of a topical, huh? Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Rather than a, like, but why?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, it's hard with that, right? Because, you know, people talk about, like, you know, you can pull the artist away from the art and whatever, right? And that's, and it's hard to do, right? Because it's hard to watch someone, especially Kevin Spacey, whose roles are of terrible people.
Yeah.
Hey, like, now I kind of get it, right?
Is American Beauty.
Yeah, not appropriate.
Yeah,
right?
Like, exactly.
And it's just one of these things where, like, I'm not the kind of person who's going to say, oh, this is, it's so bad that this happened because now I can't enjoy Kevin Spacey movies as much. Because that's, like, super shitty, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so, it's just annoying. It makes you even angrier.
Yeah, because
he's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get so angry. It's like, I should be, you know, this was so enjoyable before I knew
exactly
what a shit things you had done, right? And it's like, and you almost, like, add this layer of anger on to the all of the rest of the crap around all this, have like all the other stuff, right? You just think, I'm also so angry because you were such a good actor, and I want to be able to enjoy this, but I just get angry at you now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such an irritating position, right?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, one, it's the classic, like, there's not a more first world problem in the world.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Oh, good one, Spacey. What'd you did all the kids for? I loved American Beauty. You know,
yeah, right? And this is why you don't like, it's not a thing where you're just like, that's the bad part of it. Yeah. That's obviously not the bad part of it, right? The rape is the bad part of it, but this is the part that you like, it's just that added little bit of like, that's really...
And it's weird to view it through that lens of, like, if you were to meet any of the alleged people that he abused, and they're like, Kevin Spacey is a real, you know, he's a real monster, and you're like, yeah, Usual Suspects is very good, though, isn't it? Like, yeah, it's not gonna... It really depends who you're talking to, doesn't it?
No.
Like, you'd really need to...
And it's like, yeah, Usual Suspects is really good.
Yeah.
And, like... That's so, and it's just, like...
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's annoying.
It's a weird,
yeah.
It's such a stupid position to be in.
Yeah. Fun fact, John Bernthal actually said that he thought Kevin Spacey was a real bully. And then, like, the next month, the whole Kevin Spacey thing came out. Yeah. So he is like, oh, God, just got in.
Yeah.
Okay. Radio, here's another question for you.
Okay.
Gentlemen, fight Cousin Rowan. Gentlemen, I went to look at a broken section of my mother-in-law's deck, and it turns out the whole thing was rotten.
Mm.
As a result, I've demolished it, and I'm building a new one.
Oh.
That's it.
Okay.
That's not my question. Okay, AMA 44.0. Have you ever built anything? What was it, and how did it turn out?
In a way, we've kind of put together a little podcaster studio recording set, haven't we?
That is by no means building anything. Hey, we plugged stuff in.
It was with my dad. My dad and I built a film set about a year ago for a short film that you were involved in as well, Nelson.
Yeah,
we built like half of a shack because it was a cheesy B grade kind of grindhousey horror movie comedy, and we wanted it to be set in like the classic like cabin in the woods shack. But because, you know, obviously we couldn't find one to film in and we wanted to be able to control everything, we just built
a shack.
This shack that was kind of like for our purposes so we could take it apart and reassemble it and whatnot. But yeah, that's probably the most recent thing that I got kind of hands-on with.
Do you have a history of doing hands-on things and building?
So I am very much the black sheep of my family. My family is very
Buildy.
They're handsy.
They're very handsy.
My dad is a carpenter, so that kind of helped with the shack. My brother's an electrician. My other brother was a plumber, and then he was... at the moment, he's like, like droving. Like he goes up to, like they're very manly men. And then I'm like, the arts, and you know,
yeah.
You know, live towards the city and work in social media, yeah. And you know, so my family is very much that way, and I have a little bit of it, but lesser.
I think that makes a difference, right? As a kid, to any kind of exposure to that, because my family is not very buildy, right? Like every now and then tiny things, but not really, right?
Yeah.
And so growing up, I never did anything like that, right? Mm. And then I went to a big, look at me fancy, private school where you're not going to go and do, you know, that kind of stuff in school either, right?
Yeah.
And so I never really did. And in the same artsy, ridiculous way, the most building I've ever done is from doing community theatre. You need to build sets. And you're just like sawing things and building frames together and doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Is the most I've ever done building wise.
Oh, see, because even the house that I grew up in was built by my dad.
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
Yeah, so like I think that's why I have kind of like a do it yourself attitude with most things. I'm like, oh, we'll just do this ourselves. And that probably comes from my family just building everything.
Yeah, because they can do it.
It's not so much like I'm like, I'm going to build myself a TV unit or something like that. But when it comes to even creative things, I'm always like, oh, just do everything myself, because that's kind of like how I grew up.
Yeah. Are you a buildy man?
Not particularly, no. But so my father is he always has a joke because he sort of dropped out of school and went to like tech school, which was just like woodworking class all day. And so he's pretty handy, and it especially helps. Because, you know, him and my sister currently run a property management business. There's just lots of little handyman things that he's like, oh, I'll just
do that.
Very handy in that job. Yeah. But I don't feel as though I, you know, took anything of that away from him. I feel as though I'd be confident to build something, but never felt that I... You know, my first thought isn't like, oh, I could build this thing to solve my problem, you know? Whereas I feel like his mentality is if he needs it, like, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I could just buy a table to put our podcasting equipment on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would be confident enough to build one, but why when I can buy it, you know? And he'd be like, well, I'd just build it. But in terms of something that I've actually built, I honestly can't remember. Aside from, there was literally woodworking when I was in, you know, like year eight or something in high school. And the two things, the two projects that I can remember is one, you had to build a box, and the other one you had to build bookends.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember both times, the coolest thing by far in the woodworking class, like a workshop area, was the automatic sander.
Right.
Yeah. Coolest. Everybody couldn't get enough of that.
Like a belt sander? Like a belt? That
belt sander, yeah. Like automatic thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's called an automatic sander. I think it's called a belt sander.
I know, but this one was like a full machine. You know,
I know.
When I picture a belt sander, I think of one you hold, like right? But it wasn't one you hold. It was one it's automatic, right? Belt sander. And so you could just like, basically... There was a line for this sander.
Yeah.
And so the kids would just stand there holding their like barely cut piece of wood, you know. It's got a 90 degree angle, and you just stand there and you just let that baby go, right? Until it is smooth as a baby's bottom. And so my bookends were very smooth around the edges, and same with my box. It was very smooth. It didn't look good.
Wouldn't you want a sharp edge for a bookend to kind of get the like a book doesn't curve.
You don't know.
No. It was like the design of the thing. It still had a 90 degree stand, but then the like one side of it was just this smooth design.
More beveled.
It had, because you had to put a design in it, you know. It wasn't like, hey, put these two pieces of wood together at a 90 degree angle. Bam, you've got yourself a bookend.
But to be honest, you can just do that.
I don't think you'd get a very high mark in woodworking. Yeah. And boy, did I want that high grade in woodworking.
If you would just take one of the vices off the table and just screwed it all in this big set of books, you would have been fine.
That's true. Right. Yeah,
like done in record time.
Yeah.
I also just remembered, I was a facilities manager of a complex for many years. So yeah, I guess I did do a lot of handsy stuff with that. I fixed light
fittings.
But that wasn't
building. Yeah,
that wasn't
building.
It was a lot of repairing, though. Yeah. I repaired a lot of stuff.
Like, repairing is like a use of your practical skill, but building something, there's such a satisfaction to it.
Different when you've got like materials that turn into something.
Yeah,
that's
when
like
you just like when you just all you have is a drill and a shooting star, and you can just make gravity. Like, it's wonderful. It's such a good feeling.
And I remember when there was someone I used to work with who was very not handsy, and she comes in.
She had no hands.
She comes in one day and she's like, "Is there like do you have like an electronic screwdriver?" Do you mean a drill? She's like, yeah, one of those. Yeah.
That's funny. Are you sort of just making fun of the fact that I didn't know what a belt sander was just then?
No, it's fine. Yeah. I'll pop this little dunce cap on you.
Right. So that's it for an episode. This is a really long episode.
Well, it's because we were a day late, so we wanted to make it up to you. You know what? It's free. You don't have to even pay for it being extra long.
Exactly. Lucky you guys.
Well, I mean, you have to pay for my sections. They'll cut me out unless you donate $10.
If you want this episode to make sense.
there's some good jokes in there.
Yeah.
Ironic thing is they won't hear you pitching until they pay.
There's this great Del Toro Quest bit.
Yeah, people are like, why is the podcast so silent for so long? And then they pay and they go,
oh, no. Okay, so that was it for another episode. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Nelson, if I was a listener and I was great and I wanted to contact the show, how would I do it?
You could write into us.
Okay.
Reddit podcast, readitpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, interesting.
You could also reach us at Facebook or at Twitter or on our subreddit.
Ooh.
It's all readit podcast.
Ooh.
And you know what else you could do as a great listener?
Yep.
You could rate us on iTunes.
Okay.
Here's what I've decided.
Yep.
Right? We always say, hey, subscribe
and
rate us. Do you want... I don't even care about the subscribe thing. I think. If I was thinking about it, right? Just rate us.
Yep.
That's my theory. Because you're probably naturally going to subscribe if you enjoy it.
Right.
So why tell somebody to subscribe? It's actually much harder. I had the problem of listening to one episode of a podcast and then I didn't subscribe to it. And then I wanted to listen to the second one. I was like, this is really annoying. I should have subscribed in the first place.
Sure.
So I feel like you don't have to tell people to subscribe. Right. It's much easier on you if you do. But hey, do what you want. Okay. But rating, not everybody does that.
Yeah.
So just rate the show. That'd be great on iTunes.
We're talking to you, Bill.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, Bill.
Give you one star, I guess.
Also, check out Escapist Podcast.
Yep, linked in the
bio.
It
may or may not be linked in the show notes.
It's at the top of the show notes and the bottom of the show notes and somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, hidden.
But not where you would think.
It's a hidden hyperlink.
Okay, I don't even know if I could... Oh, God.
And also, here's a fun fact. If you look at all like the different headings for our subject, it's an acrostic poem.
Ooh, there's a puzzle. Tweet in with the solution to the hidden puzzle of this episode.
All right. Yep. Good luck, Nelson.
Oh, I'm just interested to see what they come up with.
It's definitely
there.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It starts somewhere between the 5 and the 8 minute mark.
Yeah.
That's where the whole thing starts.
Okay.
Anyway,
oh God.
We'll be back next week with another episode. Yeah, I just thought I'd pitch that.
All right.
It's 86 episodes, so we need to change it up a little.
Just letting you know, we're going to do an 87th.
Yeah. And now we're going to change the tagline at the end. Like, read you goodbye.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will read you later.
Read you goodbye.